Marriage and family counselor Michael Gurian made his reputation by writing a series of best-selling books about the emotional lives of children. Then, a few years ago, a serious medical problem sparked a kind of existential panic, as he realized he was no longer young. So, he shifted gears and set out to understand the aging process. Gurian talked with lots of seniors and came to see that, like childhood, the elder years come in distinct stages. Steve Paulson wanted to know more.
In your book, The Wonder of Aging, you write about some health problems that hit you shortly before your 50th birthday. Can you describe what happened?
Yeah, it was kind of life-changing. My family has in its genetics some bad backs. You know, we have a lot of spine problems, and my mom died of kyphoscoliosis. I have those genetics, so my discs have started to go, and I had to have surgery, and it was quite a thing, and I'm in that 15% that where the fusion, the cervical fusion, it didn't utterly help, so I have chronic pain. So it helped a good amount, but I have chronic pain. So that's sort of my journey now through the rest of my life.
How did you feel about that then, as your body was breaking down?
Well, I had really bad times, a lot of dark times, and it also compelled me to decide how I want to live the next probably 30 to 40 years of my life. You know, I probably have 30 or 40 years left, knock on wood. Sometimes we come out the other side, you know, darkly, and we spend 10 years or 15 years missing our youth. And that is not how I want to live.
You know, I think your story is not that uncommon. I think a lot of us who have hit middle age or are in it have had our health issues. A few years ago, I blew out my knee when I was playing tennis, and I had ACL surgery, and my knee is now fine. But I'm not feeling quite as invulnerable as I used to. And I'm guessing that is a rather common feeling among a lot of people roughly our age.
Well, it is common, and that's where the wisdom comes from now, from admitting the vulnerability. And that requires us to look at our legacy. What is the story that we have been telling with our lives? If we've had kids, it'll involve kids. If we're married, it'll involve our partner. It'll involve our work, service. All of those things are in us, and we now have, because we have 11,000 of us a day turning 60, we now have this time where we can look back at all this, understand the story we're telling, and pass it on.
Now, you outline three stages of aging. I mean, of sort of this post-50 time of our lives. And let's talk about each one of these. You start by talking about this phase that you say runs roughly from around age 50 to the mid-60s, what you call transformation.
Yeah. In the age of transformation, the biology for both males and females is going to be andropause and menopause. It's transforming us from being, you know, fertile for women to no longer having kids. It's transforming males from higher testosterone to lower testosterone. So all of that is happening. And what it does sort of in the outward world is it allows us to look at who we want to become. Who is it we want to be when we're around 65? And it takes us 5 to 10 years at least to make this transformation because our bodies have to go through it, and thus so do our, you know, our minds and our souls.
Well, it sounds like you're saying part of what we have to deal with is to say goodbye to our youth. I mean, basically to stop chasing after trying to stay young.
Well, I am begging people to do that, but it doesn't mean they do that at 50. For a lot of people, like a lot of my clients in my, you know, I'm a marriage and family counselor, and a lot of my clients in my office will say, yeah, I'll try that. And they won't do it. But then 5 years later, you know, I'll meet them on the street and they'll go, oh, I finally got that. So it takes people time. But by the time they get to be 65, I hope that they will see that the fountain of youth is no longer physical.
So you say the next stage is runs roughly from the mid-60s to, I don't know, 75, 80 or so, what you call distinction. What is this?
This stage, you know, this is sort of the traditional retirement. I'm using 65 because the brain biology fits that, but also the retirement fits that. We say people retire at 65. Okay, about 40% don't. But it's still a nice age to talk about because by then we're moving toward definitely wanting to slow down and wanting to focus our efforts. As I, you know, work with in the interviews and the focus groups, we really found this, that distinction is, okay, I now know who I am. Almost everyone said that. I'm 67. I know who I am.
How did people get there? I mean, how did they get from the trying to figure out who they are, maybe during the full flush of their career, to that point where they say they do know who they are?
it happens very much between around, you know, 50 and 65. They transform toward an identity, and it's a new identity. Somewhere in that 65, 70 age range, they sort of say, oh, and there's a self-awareness. And it's happening gradually as they transform away from youth, away from childbearing, away from child raising, you know, away from working 60, 70 hours a week, the things that defined them before. As they transform to this new person, they talk with their spouse about it and they write about it. And then it happens where they have the insight and say, I now know who I am.
Now, the final stage you call completion. I mean, I guess most people would say this is, you know, when people are really old. I mean, you say from 80 and on. I mean, could be 100 if people live that long. How do you think about that stage of life?
Well, it's very interesting. What I found was there's sort of two groups in this area. One group is, you know, very medicated. So the completion for them is really they don't have much that they're giving anymore, which really feels sad for them, but they're just maintaining. There's another group, however, that is completing by, for instance, writing a memoir, for instance, mentoring in a church for young people, like an 85-year-old who goes into the schools and reads to the kindergartners. He's saying, you know, I want to end my life still giving. The completion also involves going back to everyone in our families and making peace. And one person I talk about is Trudy, who most of her family didn't like her. And my role as a counselor was to say to her, well, there's something wrong with what you're doing. You know, if you want to die happy, you're going to need to make peace. And so you'll have to change the way you boss these people around and control these people. So some of it is making a psychological change, even at the age of 80.
So whereas I can imagine she might say, you know, I'm the elder here. I deserve your respect. You're saying you have to earn
right.
your respect.
Yeah, she said, well, they should just treat me well because look how long I've lived, you know, and I gave them life. And I think that worked 100 or 200 years ago. And I know from cross-cultural research that still works in other parts of the world, but not here. It's tougher here because people are living their own lives and then generations are removed from each other. And what I had to explain to her is there's a difference between respect and love. And this is something I have to do with elders quite a bit from that generation is say, yes, your kids love you, but if they don't respect you, they won't respond to you the way you want.
So what does it mean to become an elder?
What an elder means in our culture, which is so youth crazy, is an elder means someone who establishes an identity not as their buddy, but as an elder, someone who has a great deal of wisdom and owns one's mistakes, makes apologies, and passes on skills, you know. And elders tend to react to girls and boys differently. And I'm constantly coaching like elder men who have trouble verbalizing. I'm constantly coaching them, be an elder by doing woodworking with your grandson. You know, do something together if you don't have the words, so that you can pass on who you are. That's ultimately what an elder is trying to do.
You know what I find so interesting about what you're saying is, I mean, you're really talking about consciously seeing yourself as having left a certain stage of life. I mean, you are no longer in midlife. I mean, you are older. And to internalize what that means and not try to put on airs that, you know, you're still, you can do all the stuff that you did when you were 30 or 50. You're in a different stage of life, and to own that in a way. And if you do that well, that communicates a whole bunch to the people around you.
It does. It absolutely does. And to give an example of how I think this gets complicated for our culture especially, people will protect their kids from going to funerals of older people. Right? They'll think, oh, I'm not, my poor child, my child's going to cry there and I'll just go to the funeral. Well, I'm constantly asking clients and people, take your children to funerals, take your children to nursing homes to reconnect these generations. That way, when these children get to be 50 and they have their heart attack or they have their cervical fusion or their knee goes out, you know, they'll have spent a lot of their time seeing this whole other life of after 50 and this whole other way that people relate. So when they're that age, they can move to the next stage of life themselves, because the satisfaction of being 55 and being a comfortable elder, that satisfaction, at least for me, is much deeper than trying to hang on to my youth.
Michael Gurian is a marriage and family counselor in Spokane, Washington. He talked with Steve Paulson about his book, The Wonder of Aging.